This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Our pick six at six, top headlines of the day from Command Land, will be in just a little bit because it is our pleasure right now to welcome to the show ESPN Saints reporter Catherine Terrell, who's obviously been covering Marshawn Lattimore the last couple of years, and we wanted to get a little more insight on the Commander's new addition. Catherine, appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So, how long do you think that Marshawn Lattimore has been on the trade block down in New Orleans? And because one of the things that Adam Peters talked about today was that, you know, we didn't know he was going to be available. We were scouting a bunch of guys, and then all of a sudden he's available. That's a pretty important part of it. What was kind of the breaking point for the Saints from their side of it that Lattimore actually became available for Washington in the first place?
Yeah, I think that there's this perception that the Saints fired their coach and decided they were just going to get rid of everybody. And I really don't think that's how this all went down. I mean, honestly, I think that Lattimore has been a potential trade target since last December, so almost a year now. The Saints did something very unusual. They restructured his contract in a way that opened up cap space, but also made it easier to trade them. And they were trade him, sorry. They were kind of cagey about it, but even in January, Mickey Loomis said, hey, we did that for a reason. And ultimately, Lattimore stayed on the team, but I think that the Saints kind of, after this happened, maybe they figured if we can still get a good offer for him, then we're going to take it. And I think they did get a good offer. So would they have done it if they were in contention? I don't know, but I think it's more of a long saga than a 24-hour knee-jerk reaction to firing their coach.
Catherine Terrell, ESPN Saints reporter with us here on the Hoffman Show. So that's how he winds up here. What is he? This is ultimately the question that I think most Commanders fans want to know. We know that he has been one of the best corners in the league. How close is he still to that? And what, if any, drop-off has there been from his absolute peak?
Yeah, I think that Lattimore is a very, very good corner. I think that if you look at the starts of last year and the starts of this year, he was great. And sometimes it's hard to know cornerback stats because when you actually break down Lattimore's numbers, they don't throw at him a lot. So how do you know if a cornerback's good if he's not being thrown at? I think the problem this year was that he had a hamstring issue that showed up in week two. So that kind of, you know, colors things. You know, last year he had an injury. And, you know, he's kind of just been pretty unfortunate in an injury situation. A few years ago, it was a lacerated kidney, which is not really something you can prevent, obviously. But, you know, I think that Commanders are still getting a very good player who is going to be a great starter for him. I think his starter for them, man, I can't talk today. It's been a busy week. But I think his main issue is consistency and motivation.
So with that, he's coming into a team that is 7-2. He's got some old friends from Ohio State on the roster. How much do you think they, like, if 100% of Marshawn Lattimore comes when he is 100% locked in, do you think simply the change in scenery, both the fresh start and the competitiveness, is enough to get him to that level, whatever he has left? Or is there something deeper there that maybe Adam Peters and Dan Quinn need to stay on top of?
I think I've seen changes in scenery work all the time. I think it's going to work for him. I think that he's going to be very motivated to prove himself, especially, as you said, with the team winning so much. I mean, when you talk about Lattimore being at the top of his game motivation-wise, just go look at his record against Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans. You know, Lattimore kind of has a history of when the competition is at the very top, he kind of rises to that. And sometimes on the opposite side, he plays down to competition maybe he doesn't think is as good. But, you know, obviously, if you follow the NFL, you know he and Mike Evans hated each other. And so Lattimore always played really well against them. So I think getting to this new scene and being on a team that obviously has a lot of excitement and players that have really bought in, I think that that's going to be really good for him.
Catherine Terrell, ESPN.com Saints reporter with us here on The Hoffman Show, giving the inside scoop on Marshawn Lattimore. From a scheme standpoint, Catherine, how has the Saints scheme and their usage of Lattimore evolved? He's got a reputation as a man corner, but it can do more. So from someone who's been covering them the past couple of years, how many different kinds of, whether it's, I guess, like how many different roles is probably the best way to ask it, has Lattimore played and what are his strengths and weaknesses in them?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. I think that occasionally, or I think they've often have Lattimore follow the top receiver. I don't think they've done that as much this year. Obviously, the defense has been a little in disarray overall. So I think the way they've used him has probably changed. But I think when, like I said, when you look back to last year and also beginning of this year, the corners were considered the strength and backbone of a team that maybe had issues and maybe players aging at other places in the defense. So I kind of think that Lattimore's a guy that can probably do it all. You can have him follow the other team's top receiver, and I don't think that that's going to be a problem. I mean, maybe it sounds like I'm hyping him up, but I do truly think that he is a very good player still. And with the Saints, he had some issues with Dennis Allen and probably just needed a change of scenery.
No, I mean, I think that makes total sense, and it jives quite a bit with what I have heard from everyone else that's watched him with any level of closeness. Like, this dude is still one of the very best when he's locked in. Hopefully Washington gets a locked-in version of him. You would think so, based off the circumstances, and clearly the circumstances that you're reporting on daily down there are a little bit different. Last thing that I'll ask you real quick is, we know that he's dealing with a hamstring issue. He did not practice today. Washington's medical staff's taking a look. But what do you know about that hamstring issue? And if he was still there, like, and I was doing radio down there, like, hey, is Marshawn Lattimore going to play this weekend? What would be your answer to that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Again, forgive me. It's been a busy week. I cannot remember if that hamstring issue is the same as the week 2 one. I do know that against the Broncos, I believe he was ruled out of the game with a hamstring issue, but then he kind of stayed on the sidelines the whole time, which is a little surprising to see. Just obviously, if you have a hamstring issue, you kind of expect them to go sit down. Then he practiced fully the next week, and then maybe he tweaked it the following game. I don't know, but then he had to leave the game again. So I don't know the severity of it, but I'm going to assume if he passed the physical and everything's good, that it's probably not that bad of an issue. I mean, I'm kind of speaking for him, but it just seemed like something that popped up, but ultimately is probably going to be okay. But again, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him in a while, so that's just kind of me guessing.
Gotcha. No, that's good context, though, in terms of the timeline of everything and when it all went down. And they're listing him as day-to-day. Last major injury we were watching here was Jaden Daniels week-to-week, and then he played after missing zero weeks.
So, and played just fine.
Yeah, he's...
Tigers.
There you go. There you go. Catherine, really appreciate the time. I know, again, it is such a busy week for everyone, and I know you're slammed, so really appreciate some time up here with us in D.C.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on.
That is Catherine Terrell, everybody. You can read more of her work on the Saints if you want to know more about what's going on down there at ESPN.com. And again, appreciate her help in trying to understand who Marshawn Lattimore is and some of the context on Washington's newest addition. More on Washington's newest addition next. That will be from the guys who acquired him. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn both spoke today. We will let you hear that next in our pick six at six. But first, it is time to get the latest from the world in women's sports, brought to you by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Our pick six slightly delayed because of a great visit with Catherine Terrell, but without further ado, let's do it. It is time for our pick six.
Commander Storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get into it. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn both spoke today. So as we fire it up here, let's hear from the GM first.
Number one.
And let's actually cut to the core of how this team is being built. We know that the struggle is, if we make a trade, you got to give up some draft capital. So how is Adam Peters finding that balance as he makes his first mega trade in terms of trading away draft capital after his first rookie class looks to be off to a tremendous start?
You're always trying to strike that balance. And I think, I'll give you a long answer, but really we were able to pick up some draft picks earlier this year. And we had a surplus, we had 9 picks. And so that made us feel a little more comfortable doing this. And then also you're looking at the landscape of this next year's draft, this next year's free agency class, and knowing that with some of our corners that are going to be coming up as free agents, that we're going to need to either re-sign one of those guys or dip into free agency or the draft. So you weigh all that, and then you see, okay, is this player better or easier to get than maybe a free agent or a draft pick? And so knowing all that, and then knowing that we had a couple extra picks, and we still feel really good. We still have 7 picks, and I think if you look at the charts, our picks are actually, what we have now is more in terms of points than what we had, you know, back in August. So we still feel really good about that. We have what's currently a really high third round pick. We'll see how that ends, the season ends, but and that was one pick that we certainly didn't want to give up for this, and so long answer, but that's kind of how we looked at it.
There you go. So they made the calculation. Ultimately, they thought the best way for them to get a corner that was premier level was to make this trade. And so it does sound like there's some long-term plan for Marshawn Lattimore potentially as well. Peters talked about another answer. You know, we got to figure out the contract, and we'll cross that bridge when it comes. And they're going to want to see how he plays first. But they can move on if they want to. He's got no guaranteed money left. They can also keep him at the number that he's got the next couple of years. They could restructure and give him some guaranteed money, which he's definitely going to want, and potentially help themselves out with the cap number as well. As for the message this kind of sends to the rest of the NFL, well, that was a question for Dan Quinn today, and not just the NFL, but the fans in acquiring Marshawn Lattimore.
I'll say, I'll start with the fan base because it's what I would tell the team first is, you know, our rule on the team is protect the team. And our theme of our program is competition. And we're going to absolutely, relentlessly compete at everything. And that's a chance to make our team better, make you better, make the group better, like Adam and his group or myself and the coaches. Like, we're going to dig in hard to do that. And so what does Marshawn mean? He's a competitor. And so we're adding a real dog-ass competitor into a group of guys that like to fight and like to battle. And so to me, that's an extension of competing, to say we're not going to miss a moment, you know, to add a competitor onto our team. And so that has nothing to do with the league. I'd rather, it's just about us, really. That's how I think of it.
And that fits right into the next main thing.
Number two.
Which is not how it went down or the message that it sends, but that it went down at all. This is a team that's supposed to be in year one of a rebuild. Could Adam Peters have imagined this early taking a swing this big to say, like, hey, we're trading a third rounder already, 9 games in at the trade deadline? Here is Adam Peters on that.
If we'd asked you September 1st, would you be likely to be adding a player or adding more picks at the deadline? What would you have thought?
I would have said we need to beat the Buccaneers. I think it goes back to if whether you're, you know, 9-0 or 0-9, you're always trying to do what's best for the team. And so if that adds up to adding a player that you can add that's really good, like Marshawn, then you always consider it. And then if it's also trading a player away, then you consider that too. So you take them as they come. And I don't necessarily look at it as being a buyer or a seller. I think just trying to do my best I can to help this team, you know, be as good as it can.
I think that's a fairly new school approach in the NFL, that you have teams that are traditionally sellers that might still be sellers, but that can also be buyers, because often those teams have a ton of cap space. And so it's like, hey, we can give up a draft pick and get someone that we probably otherwise wouldn't get in free agency, get in their ear, give them a big fat contract and be like, hey, you want to stay? And that's what the Bears did with Montez Sweat. I know the Patriots were poking around at doing that this year, and it's kind of what Washington did, except for they fit the profile for the bad teams minus the record part. They're 7-2, but this is it becomes both in that case, right? This makes us better now. It also could help us solidify something that we need solidifying later, and so thus, it is a very smart move.
Number three.
As for the here and now of it all, Dan Quinn's got to figure out how to fit Marshawn Lattimore into what they're doing. So what are the traits about the Saints four-time Pro Bowler, former Saints all-time Pro Bowler, that have Dan Quinn quite excited here in Washington?
Yeah, I think two I'm going to say, David, if that's okay. One, I love the competitor to challenge. And that's what, you know, this league is made of finishing moments and games and plays and third downs. And so when you feel that player rise, even get a little taller and stronger in those moments, it's not hard to miss. You've seen it. And so that trait I know he has. I can't put a speed on it and I can't put a metric on it, but I know what it looks like. And then I would say from the physical side of things, the ability to stay attached and make contested catches hard and fight through them. And that is what playing really good DB is about. Obviously, sometimes you're playing zone and using vision, but when you got to attach and you got to play tight man-to-man to guard somebody to go win a down, you need to be able to stand strong and have confidence to do that. And Sean does.
I feel like there is a metric that we could put on the competitiveness. That's the number of times that Marshawn Lattimore has fought Mike Evans. That number's a lot. That he is competitive. He's nasty. He's everything that this team wants. But I think they're also going to rely on him. One of the things that's come up a lot in the last couple of days, especially with talking to former players, I think that's been interesting. Will Blackman mentioned it. Patrick Peterson mentioned it both earlier on in the show today. The mentorship side of this. This is a guy that has been there, done that, played in playoff games. He's 28, so it's not like he's ancient, but he's been around the league for a hot second. So with guys like Mike Sanders still, Benjamin St. Juice, and even Noah Igbinoghene still on the rookie deals or kind of within that first four-year time frame, is there a responsibility or a wish for Lattimore to mentor some of those guys?
I think it'll probably go both ways because there's some scheme and some communication for Marshawn to learn, and there's also some wisdom for him to pass on to go. And so that will happen organically as it goes, but the first order of business is obviously getting him on the same page with all of his teammates as quickly as we can. But those things happen over time. The more time you spend together, those are, you know, meeting room times, road trips, and you just, you know, start discussing it more. And so over time, that we'll expect that to happen.
And something that Charles Davis said yesterday too, that can happen even more in a situation like this, because Marshawn Lattimore ain't got anything else to do. He's moving midseason. He's going to some apartment. He might bring his PlayStation or whatever, but he's mostly going to be in his playbook and hanging out with other guys on the team because he doesn't know anybody here unless he's got a bunch of friends in D.C. that just from elsewhere in life. But the chances are, for a guy that's spent his entire career in one spot, a lot of new stuff. So the guys he's going to hang out with are his new teammates, which can be beneficial. Will he be hanging out with them on the field?
Number four.
Adam Peters asked about Lattimore's hamstring injury that is still a worry as he gets where he or he continues to fight back to get on the field, hopefully as soon as this weekend.
Yeah, he does. He has a hamstring injury right now, and he just got in today, so we're just evaluating that. And in terms of due diligence, when you're doing a trade like this and there is a player that could be injured, you know, our trainer will talk to their trainer. They'll allow us to get the medical records and all that so we understand the full picture, the full scope of the injury, or just their injury history, really. And so we got all that information and really just taking it day to day. You know, he won't practice today, so you won't see him out there today. But, you know, we'll just take it day by day and put him out there when he's ready.
Take it day by day. Okay, got it. Very Adam Peters, very Dan Quinn. But they did their due diligence, and he passed the physical. So clearly they don't think there's anything too wrong in the long term.
Number five.
Speaking of doing due diligence, there are four players on this roster who have played with Marshawn Lattimore before. They are all members of the 2014 Ohio State recruiting class, which is it meant that Adam Peters had some calls to make before making this deal.
All those guys that we have in our locker room, that Ohio State guys, they're legit dudes, you know, and you trust their opinion, and I think it would be probably not, I'm gonna say foolish, but I think you'd be missing something if you didn't ask them and they had something to tell you that you should have known before you made the deal. So I'll keep those conversations private, but yeah, we definitely tapped into that and everything was good. I can tell you that.
You don't say. You made the trade. So whatever the details were, clearly it worked out in the Commanders' favor.
Number six.
And oh, by the way, we spent so much of the show on this trade. They have a huge game this weekend. That's where we're going to spend a lot of the show the next couple of days, including a visit with our pal, Andrew Filippone. Those words just started to mush together. Couldn't stop it. Runaway freight train. Out of control. But Pony, the Pony Express. See, we brought it all together, everybody. Pony's going to join us tomorrow on the show from 93.7 The Fan. But what does Dan Quinn see? Specifically when he looks at Russell Wilson, because this has been a brand new offense. A lot of people had a lot of consternation in the media, myself included, to be totally honest, about moving away from Justin Fields. Like, they were playing really well. The run game was going, even if Fields wasn't killing it. They're putting up 30 pieces with Russ at quarterback. He's cooking. So what does Dan Quinn see when he sees Wilson in black and gold?
Yeah, and the thing that when I think about Russ, the first thing that pops to my mind is this is a remarkable deep ball thrower. And it's what he has absolutely earned and been known for, Donna, inside and outside the pocket, where he's got the ability to be able to throw on the run, you know, 50, 60 yards down the field to a spot that only, you know, his receiver can get to it, or off a big play pass. So that, to me, is what, you know, sets him apart, is his, he's got a, you know, strong arm, big hands. He can absolutely rip it, but it's the downfield big shot plays. When those explosive plays happen, those are game changers. And that's what I think Russ's superpower is. Like, deep ball accuracy, is not everybody has that.
Obviously, Dan knows Russ very well from their time together in Seattle. He had to practice against him every day. And that deep ball element of extending plays and just, hey, you know, he would have been, he'd be great here in a sense. Hey, screw it. Terry's down there somewhere. That's how Russ is with George Pickens. It's how he was with Tyler Lockett. It's how he was with somebody in Denver, I'm sure. But he generally just plays never dead. Receiver that's down there, he's open. And you got to stay sticky throughout the entire down. And what I appreciate about Dan at the podium is he doesn't care if the other team knows some of what the talking points are in the building, because either you do them or you don't. And he'd rather everybody know, everybody from every piece of messaging be the same. Fellas, this week, deep balls, got to make sure we're on top of it. We'll talk about that much more over the next couple of days. That's our pick six for now. Biggest storylines of the day, biggest sound bites of the day, every day at 6 o'clock. Up next, we're actually wrapping up the show because we got Georgetown Hoops coming for you at 7 o'clock. Pregame at 6:45. Real things, real people said into real microphones. Next. It's Offman Show. We're on the Team 980, always alive as well on the free Odyssey app. Wrapping up, as we have Georgetown basketball coming at you in just a few minutes. What do we got, Ant? We got one of these. Is that what it looks like on the old Alski?
Actually, we don't even have a hard out today.
Okay, I can talk forever.
I'm joking. We do have a hard out.
Okay, definitely can't talk.
This is going to be 43.
Okay. All right. So we got about 8 minutes left in the show. If you missed any part of the show, and I do mean any part of the show, because the thing started with a pop, bang, fizz today with Will Blackman calling us literally right at 4 o'clock. So that was a really great chat. So we got that at 4 o'clock. We had Patrick Peterson with me and Logan at 5. Catherine Terrell, ESPN Saints reporter, at 6. We had a very fun time with Competition Wednesday. Maybe perhaps me a little bit more than Anthony. Sorry. At 5:30. I'm just telling people what happened on the show. Anthony, they should go listen to the podcast. And then a great pick six at 6.
I would have thought you would have learned from me, Craig. You know, when you rub it in, the amount of time.
Not rubbing it in. I'm just saying what happened.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Maybe a little bit.
I was about to say, just a tad bit.
Just a little bit. It's been... Now I'm going to rub it in. It's been 4 weeks, bro.
I know. I'm going to get it together.
Okay.
Eventually.
I have faith in you.
Yeah.
I have faith in you. A couple of those, you had really good weeks. There's also this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
I'll bounce back, man.
Thank you.
I learned to listen to you, even though, again, this week I didn't listen to you. I hope that doesn't come back to bite me in the behind.
We'll see.
But it's Dallas, so.
We shall see. All right, tomorrow on the show, I'm going to go ahead and pencil in 4:30 tomorrow. We got an Olympic gold medalist. How about that? That sound good timing-wise?
Yes, sir.
Rather that than 6:30?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. One-third of Triple Espresso, leader of your Washington Spirit, hometown, Trinity Rodman. I spoke with Trin a little bit earlier today. We will get that for you tomorrow, talking about all kinds of different stuff around her national team experience with the Olympics this summer, and then obviously heading into this weekend where we have the NWSL playoffs at Audi Field on Sunday. Trin and the Spirit taking on Bay FC. So we talked about a whole bunch of different stuff with Trinity Rodman, and you can hear it tomorrow at 4:30. Andrew Filipponi will join us tomorrow as well. Great host out of Pittsburgh. He also hosts the national show First and Pod with Patrick Peterson, who joined us today. So Pony will join us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Never read the comments. I wonder what there's like literally hundreds of comments that I've got to get through. I don't know how I'm going to get through them all.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot for sure. Are the vast majority Marshawn?
Although I don't know how many of them are like, yeah, the vast majority are, but it's like, yeah, that's not never read the comments. Some of them are pretty easy to scroll by. Like, I'm happy that people are leaving them. It's just, it's not, I have to be like, do we want to put that one in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. Go Pat P. Benjamin St. Juice poop emoji. Delete. Just kidding. I don't delete comments unless they're really nasty. I don't do that. Pick six at six. You'll hear from Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury. So we are definitely loaded up tomorrow. Anything else from the housekeeping standpoint, Anthony? Don't think Thursday. About it too hard.
No, I think that's everything.
All right. Well, in that case, then, I feel like it's still a little early. Maybe not. It's time for Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All righty. So, Anthony, was this Shane Beamer or is this a basketball thing this weekend?
This was the head coach of the football team.
Okay, that's what I thought. They didn't. You have this labeled as win over Clemson. They played Clemson this past weekend? No way. Because they typically play the last. Look, this is personal for me because I grew up in the Carolinas. That was always a big weekend.
It wasn't Clemson. Though.
I was about to say, they definitely didn't play Clemson this past weekend. That's always the last game of the season. I know college football's mostly been ruined. I don't think that's been ruined yet.
They had a huge one. Texas A&M.
Okay. That's a little more like it.
I read something wrong.
After it happens to the best of us. After his team's big win over, not Clemson, Texas A&M this weekend.
15th ranked.
University of South Carolina coach Shane Beamer had to sing to his wife because it was her birthday. They did not sing happy birthday.
All right, last one right here. Then we're going to break it down. My wife, Emily, I know you're in the back. Come on up here, Em. All right. Miss Beamer. She's got a birthday coming up this week. All right. So this is a great birthday for her. Great birthday present. I told my kids all week that if we won this football game, all right, I was going to do a little celebration for her here in the locker room. Right. I'm going to need y'all's help, or we ain't singing happy birthday. Don't think it's that. All right. I know y'all sing this song at practice, so I'm going to need a little backup right here. Right. But this is her little birthday. Hit it, Big Mike.
Yo, that was so crazy. I did not expect that at all.
Not what you thought coming? I love the hit it, Big Mike.
Funny story, Craig. So I sang that exact same song at a lip sync battle with my frat brothers. So that made it even more funny because I'm like, oh my God, people love this song by Fantasia. Love it.
So good. Also, there's just certain, you get enough guys singing like that.
Yeah.
Someone's going to hit the ad libs. It's all of a sudden you hear something kind of in the middle. Someone peeled off. It was like, hey, yeah. Like everyone's going to do their part.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony. You know what that is? That's a sign of leadership.
Real leadership.
Leadership. Everyone knowing their roles. That's a well-coached football team. Happy birthday to Emily Beamer. And well done, Shane Beamer. Of course, son of the great Hokie legend, Frank Beamer, down there at South Carolina. All right. That's our show for today. We've done enough talking. The Hoyas are playing Lehigh. Pre-game is next here on the Team 980. Don't forget, tomorrow, Filippone, Trinity Rodman, lots of Commander Steelers talk. Going to be a good show. Missed any part of today, check out the podcast. That's it. That's all. See ya.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book. on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.